I feel very called to become a member of the Catholic Church.
Love the Catholic Church. It's just the best place to be.
From the studios of EWTN, this is Open Line. In North America, call toll-free 1-833-288-EWTN. That's 1-833-288-3986. Outside North America, call 1-205-271-2985. You can also text the letters EWTN to 55000 or send an email to openline@ewtn.com.
Happy Easter to each and every one of you. Welcome to EWTN's Open Line Thursday. We're talking the new evangelization during this Easter season. If you'd like to be on the program, the number is 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. If you're outside the United States and Canada, you still have a mandate by virtue of your baptism to be an evangelist. Your number is 1-205-271-2985, and we will put you straight to the front of the line at 1-205-271-2985. You can always send us an email, openline@ewtn.com, or you can text your question to Father Larry. Text the letters EWTN to 55000. Wait for a response. Text your first name and your question. Message and data rates may apply. Phone lines are open, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. I'm Jack Williams, the lovely and talented Michael McCall producing the program. Your call screeners, Mr. Ryan Penny and Jeff Burson, magnificent person, is handling our social media endeavors. So if you're watching Father Larry on YouTube or Facebook Live, you can type a question into that chat window, and we may get to it by the end of the program. Our host, as he is every Thursday, the pastor of St. Joseph Church, Bread of Life Community in Erie, Pennsylvania, Father Larry Richards. How in the world are you?
Blessed. How are you this Easter?
I am tremendously blessed. Happy Easter to you.
And you too. Jesus
how was
is risen.
Easter, how was Easter vigil at St. Joseph's?
It was very good. Yeah, we had, it was very nice. A nice whole Holy Thursday. The whole Triduum was very good. And so now I'm on like 5 days off. I came in just for this.
Oh, thank you so much. It's a blessing to us that you would do that.
Yes.
You know, my lovely wife and I, Jeanette and I, had the great privilege of being in France for the first part of the Triduum. We went to the Holy Thursday Mass of the Lord's Supper and the Good Friday Liturgy at a local parish in Paris that was close to our hotel. And it was invigorating. You hear so much negativity about the church in other parts of the world, especially in France, quite frankly. Buddy, I'm going to tell you what, this parish was rocking it.
Wow. Was it crowded?
It was. It was very crowded. It was probably 80-90% full both nights. Very reverent people. Singing that would put us in America to shame.
Wow.
That's for sure in most places. And it's always uplifting to me to be in a place where I don't speak the language and the mass is almost identical.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah. With the exception of not getting a lot out of the homily, everything else. Everything
and we
else
will refrain comment from that, too.
Yeah, I don't get a lot out of yours either. And we allegedly speak the same language, right?
Yeah, exactly. So that's the thing.
but you know, really, it's one of the beauties of the faith, and especially during this Easter season, to see so many earnest people entering the church at a time of such travail. It gives me hope, and it just recharges my batteries in a big way. How about you?
Absolutely. It's the reason for hope is that Jesus is always there. It's why I'm always saying that Jesus is in charge, that he still brings hope even out of the darkest nights. He still is there. He's still present. You know, when everything seems to be going bad, he's saying, would you just trust me? Would you just trust me? And that's where we come up to this great and glorious Sunday when we have the Divine Mercy Sunday. And we just say, Jesus, together as a church, we all say, Jesus, we trust in thee. Jesus, we trust in thee. Jesus, we trust in thee. And then we got to live that. Jesus, we trust in thee. Yes, Jesus, you are in charge and we're trusting. You have a plan and you know more than we do. And boy, when we get to that place in our life, that's when we can grow the best.
You know, when we talk about being evangelists, a couple things. First of all, I think once a big season like Easter has come and gone, mm-hmm. and the Easter Vigil is now in the rearview mirror, maybe our evangelistic tendencies tend to relax a little bit, you know, but really that shouldn't be the case at no. all.
And like I talked about on Easter Sunday, I sat there and I talked about we must live the resurrection. And to live the resurrection means that we're life-giving people. And the most thing we can do to give life to others is bring them Jesus. And so, and again, it's always amazing when we give life to others, we get it ourselves. You cannot give life to somebody else without receiving it first. And so when we become people, that everything Jesus did on the cross, he did to rise, and he rose not for him, but again for us. And so we have to learn that we need to let Christ live his life in us and through us, and then we become these life bearers of the resurrection to other people so that they become more alive because they've touched Christ in our hearts and our lives, who Jesus lives inside of us. If we could just continue to remember, we are the living tabernacle of God, the living temple of the living God, and everyone we meet, we're bringing Jesus to. So we can either show them Jesus or show them us. If we show them us, oh, it's a poor thing. But if we show them Jesus, we give them eternal life. That can be the whole reality. So the point is to show the world Jesus and be resurrection people.
833-288-EWTN is our toll-free number. We've got a couple lines open for you on this Easter Thursday. 833-288-3986. You know, we're when we think about the gospel message, you know, sometimes we're a little heavy and ready to roll with the repent message. And as we approach Divine Mercy Sunday this Sunday, sometimes we're a little light on the mercy message, huh?
Mm-hmm. I always say, like some people are, mercy for me, but judgment and justice for everybody else. And I always say, nope, it got to be, if you want mercy, you got to be an instrument of that mercy, the same principle. When we become instruments of mercy, the mercy of God comes in us and through us, and then we bring it to other people. If it gets stuck in us, the mercy starts to die. You know, by definition, we must be people of mercy. And again, a lot of people start saying, I want mercy, I want justice, I want justice. I said, okay, let's start. I agree with you. Let's start with justice. Let's start with you. How about justice for you? Oh, maybe not. Exactly. We all are in need of mercy. And, you know, God is still a just God, but who determines what we get is us. When we embrace our sin, the justice of God comes upon us. But when we repent of our sin, the mercy of God comes upon us. So our call to everybody else is calling them to be people to repent. But we get them to repent by loving them. I mean, the whole point is we want everyone in heaven. Why? Because God wants everyone in heaven. That's the point. So we want to have the heart of God, and when we have the heart of God, then we're going to learn to love and have mercy on everybody.
Got a couple minutes left here. We've received a voicemail from a caller who called in with a question for you, Father Larry.
Wow, nice.
Hello, my name is Michael. I'm from Sydney, Australia, and I'd just like to ask Father Larry about sharing the gospel with somebody else. Thank you.
Sharing the gospel with who?
I didn't catch it myself.
With someone you love.
With someone you love, oh, the greatest thing when we sit there and we share the gospel with someone we love is, first of all, the way I say to everybody, first thing you do is you pray for them. You should have a list that you pray for people every day. And when you're praying for people, you're bringing the grace of God upon them like a magnifying glass. The second thing you need to do is you need to love them, because that's what God does. God so loved the world, his commandment to love one another as I have loved you. This is how all people know you're my disciples. So we're just loving them. And then we witness to them. Witness is different than preaching. Witness is sharing with others what Jesus has done for you. It's sharing with others how Jesus Christ is alive. Like I said again on Easter, I said, the person in my life was my spiritual director for many years, Father Peterson. I used to use him as the example for the reason for God's existence. Because to be in Pete's presence was to know that God was alive, because he loved people so intimately. and so much wanted, and he dealt with all people of the world and all kinds of people. And that's what he had to say. When you saw Pete, you knew that Jesus was alive. When people look at us, they need to see that Jesus is alive inside of us. We're weak, we fall, we're sinful, absolutely. But we have to keep getting out of the way to show everybody Jesus, and that will bring them to him then.
If you've got a question for Father Larry, we've got a couple lines open for you at 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. If you're outside the United States and Canada, we'd still love to hear from you with your questions about the new evangelization. Your number is 1-205-271-2985. And we will move you straight to the front of the line if you call 1-205-271-2985. You can always send us an email, openline@ewtn.com. That's openline@ewtn.com. We're talking the new evangelization here on this Easter Thursday on EWTN's Open Line with Father Larry Richards. EWTN is our toll-free number, 833-288-3986. Start your day off right. We give you the great opportunity of listening to the Holy Mass from Our Lady of the Angels Chapel right here on the campus of EWTN, 8 a.m. Eastern Time every day right here on EWTN Radio. To the phones we go. Our leadoff hitters from your hometown, Father Larry, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Barbara's listening
on
SiriusXM Channel 130, and she is a first-time caller. Barbara,
wow,
you're on with Father
the
Larry.
Bell. Oh, dear. Hello, Barbara.
Barbara, are you there? She is overwhelmed with your presence, Father Larry,
yeah.
That she will.
I'm sure that ain't
when
that
she composes
thing.
Herself, we'll get back to her in just a minute. Instead, we'll head to near one of my old stomping grounds, Warren, Michigan. Donna is in Michigan. She's also listening on SiriusXM Channel 130. Donna, what's your question today for Father Larry on this Easter Thursday?
Hello, Donna.
Hello. Hi.
What's up?
In the Old
Happy
Testament,
Easter.
We always hear about.
Yep.
Oh, thank you. Same to you. In the Old Testament, you always hear about how women are always stoned for adultery. Mm-hmm. And in our society, even now, it seems like adultery is acceptable for men and not for women. Women. And I know that it's not good for anybody. But
no.
But how, I don't know how to ask this. How do people know that it pertains to men too when it's always women that you're hearing about? And like I said, in our society even now, it's like it's okay for men to go and, you know, fornicate in that way, but, you know,
sure.
It's a horrible thing if women do it.
Well, and again, it's a horrible thing if men do it too, you know, and it should be. Either way, like sin is sin before God, you know, and anyone who commits adultery and doesn't repent could go to hell for all eternity. You know, it's just as, you know, some people sit there and talk about, well, that person's sin or this person's sin. All sin can separate us from God, or God's a liar. He says, if you do this, you will die. Now, you know, for whatever reason, yeah, even in the Old Testament, because women were not treated the same as men. You know, we have a theology that's changing that by God's grace. But, you know, women were almost, you know, you could barter for them. You could buy them, if you will. If, you know, there was one man and might have 8 different wives and concubines and everything else, depending on what part of the Old Testament you go into. So they always treated women differently. But men also could be stoned for committing adultery. You just don't hear about it, but it was still part of the penalty. You know, that's why there was once a person that says when they brought the woman committing adultery before Jesus, and he knelt down and we don't know what he wrote, but then he got up and he said, like, where was the man? You know, like, because there takes 2 people to commit adultery by definition. You know, and the reality is that God knows the heart. Sometimes people think they get away with things, you know, because no one's seen it or no one knows it. But God knows. And that's what we always got to remember, that even though some people seem to get away with things, nobody gets away with anything before Almighty God.
And we hear about that in the Psalms all the time, don't we, Father?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And that's the point that, you know, and you think about King David. King David committed adultery big time. And God said, you know, you should, you're going to take that child because of this, you know, and because God knew you are the man. You know, he not only committed adultery, he committed murder to cover up his adultery. And God punished him for that. You know, and that's where we get the beautiful psalm about have mercy on me, O God, you know, because of what he did, you know. And so God is God, and we have to remember that sin by definition causes us to die. You know, sin is a big deal. If sin wasn't a big deal, there'd be no reason for Good Friday. Jesus came and paid the penalty for our sin. So again, our job is to, as we come to this mercy, is to repent of our sin and receive mercy. But the key to receiving it is repentance. But it got to be for everybody. You know, as a confessor, I hear constantly, and I got to tell you, honest to goodness, of course I treat them both the same. Sin is sin. If it's a man committing adultery, a woman committing adultery, they both get mercy from me, but they also get a challenge that you can never hurt your family like this again. Ever.
Is that helpful, Donna?
Yes, thank you.
Thanks for
calling. We appreciate
us.
That phone call. 833-288-EWTN is our toll-free number, 833-288-3986 here on this Easter Thursday. Next up is Carol. She is in Mason, Ohio, a first-time caller. I'll spare you the bell. Do you want the bell, Carol?
Thank you. No. Oh, yes, whatever you want, Carol. Thank you, Carol.
Carol, what's your question today for Father Larry?
Hi, Father.
Hello, Carol.
Hi,
what
Father
is
Larry.
Up? Hello.
Well,
Happy
I would
Easter.
Like to know, I know we have to confess our sins to God.
Yep.
It says
sure.
so in the Bible.
Sure.
I cannot understand why the Catholics have to confess to a person, a man, a priest.
What well, says
and where
in
the Bible does it say that we must do that?
Well, it comes from the book of James. It says, confess your sins one to another that you may find healing. You know, so James is explicit. In the early church, you know, and Jesus gave the power to forgive sins to man, right? In John chapter 20 or 9, whatever, he says, he breathed on him. It's after the resurrection. He says, receive the Holy Spirit. And then he says, those whose sins you forgive, they are forgiven. Those whose sins you hold bound, they are held bound. So not only did he give the power to forgive sins to the church, he also gave the power to hold people and bind them in their sin, which we don't hear that much about. Now, in the early church, again, you got to know some history, because people always want to just sit there and say, well, where in the Bible? It is explicitly in the Bible, and I just gave you two passages. There's many more. All you have to do is go and Google Confession Catholic Church in Bible, and you're going to find all the passages, but those are too explicitly. But in the early church, the way they did it is there was no forgiveness after baptism. You know, it was you after, if you committed one of the big sins, and the big sins was a murder, apostasy, and adultery. You committed one of those big sins, you were damned, period. No other way around it. After baptism. That's why in the early church, most people waited until they were ready to die before they got baptized, because they knew they couldn't stop sinning. So they kept putting it off. Then as time went on, they says, okay, you can have after baptism one time of forgiveness, and it's a big thing. And so what would happen is you'd come to the church, and you'd have to do a public confession. So again, one of those three big sins, apostasy, murder, or abortion. And you'd have to confess it to the whole community at the beginning of every Mass. And so you'd kind of, at the Mass, so you'd sit there and say, I committed abortion. And everybody would go, oh, we knew. Adultery. Everybody who knows. So then the bishop or the priest would give you a public penance. You are not allowed back in the early church. And this is before there was Catholics and Protestants. There was only one church. You are not allowed back into the church until your penance was done. And the public penance, what would do is you'd be standing out in front of the church every week. And as people walked into the church, you would beg them to pray for you. Please pray for me. Pray for me. And you'd have to be doing a public penance. Everybody saw this because they all knew your sin. So you had to do a public penance. And then on Easter or whatever, they'd bring you in, and then the bishop or priest would come lay hands on you, and you'd be forgiven. So that's the way it was for most of the half century of church. And then the Irish came and made it where they went, and you could do it, well, it was before the Irish, but they made it more popular, where you can confess more than once in your lifetime. And then it became more of a thing, but because God always gave the power to forgive sins to the church explicitly in John's gospel, and how we have used that power throughout the years has changed. Our practice of it has changed. But again, though, the reason that we do this with another individual is because, first, it kills our pride. Second, that every sin you commit, even if you're alone when that sin happens, you just don't hurt yourself. You hurt the whole community. So just like if you yelled at your husband, and then you go back to go to Jesus and say, "Jesus, I'm so sorry I yelled at my husband." And he goes, "Well, that's nice, but I want you to go and tell your husband you're sorry." "Well, can't I just tell you, Jesus?" No, you didn't hurt me explicitly. You hurt your husband. You go tell your husband you're sorry. "Well, Jesus, you should just be able to forgive me for my husband." You go and ask your husband for forgiveness. So the priest represents both God and, because everybody, even according to Moses, God always uses instruments. The way he got the Ten Commandments is because he used Moses to give Ten Commandments. The way God did a lot of things, you know, the person, this week in our daily mass, for them to be healed, you know, they go to John and Peter and says, "Silver and gold we have not, but what we do we give you. In the name of Jesus, walk." And so they became the instruments of healing to somebody. And so a priest becomes an instrument of healing, spiritually, physically, however it happens to be, to help us to know that we need each other and that every sin affects the whole body of Christ. So that's the way it's been developed. Now you get people today in the last 100 years or so, "Well, where does it say it explicitly in the Bible? I have to do that." And that's where we got to go beyond these things and say, "Well, God wants us to do this, and this is why." Does that help you?
Yes, very much so. Thank you.
Thank you. God bless you.
God bless you, Carol. We appreciate the phone call. That opens up a line for you at 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. We'd still love to hear from you. If you're outside the United States and Canada, your number is 1-205-271-2985. Father Larry, Barbara in Pittsburgh is back.
She's back. Good job.
Barbara, you're on with Father Larry.
Hi. Hello, Barbara.
Hi, Father Larry. How are you?
Well, I am very blessed. Welcome back. What's up?
Thank you. My question is, I'm married to a non-practicing Presbyterian, and we've been married 25 years, have several children that are almost into adulthood, and over the years, he has gone to church with me, especially when the kids were, you know, making their sacraments and so on, and now that we're getting older, I ask him quite frequently if he would like to come to church, and most of the time, he says no. So I asked him one day, what is it about coming to church that is putting him off? And one of the things that he said was that he doesn't like to go and sit there and listen to Father and be told that he's a sinner, that he's doing what he's doing wrong. He just doesn't want to be told that. And I said, "Well, do you not think that you sin?" And he said, "Well, he did, but I think he was a little confused also on what really is a sin." So I did try to explain some of that, but I just don't know what a good answer is to give him to come to church with me and to listen to the gospel, listen to a sermon. I know nobody wants to be told what they're doing wrong, but
especially if it's every week. I hope not.
Well, listen, Barbara, if you'll hang on the line, we're going to get to that very important question in just a moment. We're also going to talk to Jason in Philadelphia, Christy in Columbia, Missouri, and hopefully we'll talk to you as well. The number to be on the program once again is 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. If you're outside the United States and Canada, your number is 1-205-271-2985, and we will put you straight to the front of the line at 1-205-271-2985. And you can always text your question to Father Larry. Text the letters EWTN to 55000. Wait for a response. Text your first name and your question. Message and data rates may apply. EWTN's Open Line, Thursday during this Easter octave with Father Larry Richards. EWTN is our toll-free number, 833-288-3986. EWTN's Open Line Thursday during this octave of Easter. We're talking to Barbara in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. She's married to a wonderful man who's a Presbyterian, doesn't necessarily practice his faith, doesn't want to go to church because he doesn't want to have Father tell him he's a sinner. Father Larry, why do you tell people they're sinners?
Yeah, those pagans, I'll tell you. Listen, Barbara, first of all, being from Pittsburgh, my father was a non-practicing Presbyterian, as a matter of fact. And he didn't come to church with us either, except for those type things when we were baptized and various things. And sometimes people don't want to deal with God, period, because God makes them feel guilty, if you will, for whatever their own arrangements are living. And I think that if, and again, I wouldn't go to church either, as every week I only was told what was the matter with me or how I'm a sinner. I mean, hopefully you hear more that Jesus, because we all have to begin there, that we're sinners, but we don't want to spend our whole life there. We want to sit there and learn that, you know, not every day is Good Friday, that we have resurrection within us and that God came and paid for our sins. So if we're told that we're sinners, as long as every time we're told that they're sinners, that there's hope for that sin, then people, I think, would want to go to church because everybody knows that they're sinful people. I've never met anyone who doesn't, really, well, maybe I've met a few. You know, maybe Jack doesn't think she's a sinner. But the rest of us know we're sinful people. But the reality is that, but so what? Just because I know I'm a sinner, if that's all I hear, then there's no hope, then I wouldn't want to hear this. But I want to know that when I go to church, that there is hope for my sin. That there is hope for a Redeemer, that Jesus Christ came and loved me and paid for my sins. And so we want to always make sure that we hear both. And so if you don't always hear that at your particular church, well, find a church where you're going to hear a balance there, that you need to have both things at all times, you know. So that would be the first thing. The second thing is that work on the reality of him to come to know that though he is a sinner, he needs a Savior. And that's what the biggest thing. Again, when I was years ago, I was saying I wouldn't send my a dog to a particular high school. And I said I didn't like that, of course. I can say some stupid things. But anyway, I met with the whole theology department. And they says, so what's your problem with us, Father? And I says, do you ever teach sin? And he says, no, we do not teach sin. We decide we want to focus on the positive. We don't want to focus on the negative. I said, well, if there is no sin, there's no need for a Savior. And if there's no need for a Savior, then there's no need for a Catholic school or the Catholic Church. And we're paying you for no reason, so you should all quit your jobs. And they didn't like me after that. But the reality was that until we all know that we are sinners, we don't know how much we need a Savior. But when we know that we're sinful now, we know how much we need a Savior. And so, but again, though, your husband is going to have to be loved into the church, not guilted into the church. Guilt doesn't keep. I was listening last Saturday night on Holy Thursday, right after the vigil of all times. I was watching Saturday Night Live, which I haven't watched in 20 years. It's amazing because it was like I could, the vigil, I was trying to, you know, bring myself down. So I'm sitting there, I'm watching this stuff, and he goes, oh, and I married a Jewish woman. My first thing my parents did, and my mother called and says, so, is she going to convert? And he says, oh, yeah, like I'm going to get her. Hey, honey, 28 years old, you want to come to the church? It makes you feel guilty about everything you do from the moment you're born until you die, especially if you have sex. Oh, yeah, I'm going to really tell her. And I'm thinking, how sad that is, that this is someone's vision as a Catholic, that this is what the church is, and would not want to invite anybody into that, because the only thing this guy has ever seen of his own experience of church is just to feel guilty. And that is not the church. The church helps, begins us by making us feel guilty. Repent is the first words out of Jesus' mouth, but then believe the good news, which is today's gospel. The gospel, go to all creation and proclaim the gospel, which means the good news. So we hopefully are fine. You should find a church where you're going to hear the good news too, not just the bad news, so your husband has some hope there too. Does that help you, Barbara?
Yes, it does. Thank you very much, Father.
Thank you for calling us. Have fun.
God bless you. We appreciate that phone call, Barbara, during this Easter season. The number again is 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Next up is Christy in Columbia, Missouri. A first-time caller listening to EWTN Radio. Christy, you're on with Father Larry.
Hello, Christy.
Hello, Father Larry. How are you?
I'm blessed. How are you?
Good, good. Hey,
what's
I
up?
Have a real quick question.
The
main thing is my son just ended up finishing his confirmation class, which I and my husband teach.
Mm-hmm. So well, it had to be a very good class
all,
then.
yeah. Well, I hope so anyway. But we're trying. But we're trying to we actually use the Chosen program. And mm-hmm. is very good with Chris mm-hmm. Stefanik, very good program.
Sure.
And made it very easy for us as teachers, but the kids didn't really come away with anything that they could take to their Protestant friends in school mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. kind of, I don't want to say fight against, but to combat their questions. And I'm just like, mm-hmm. you know what? I think you're right. I mean, I think mm-hmm. the Chosen program is a very good program, but it's more mm-hmm. just the upper level of, or the just the outer layer of what we kind of all know as Catholics. But then it didn't really go into any kind of apologetics. It didn't go into anything that they could take as just, you know, some way to be able to combat those questions that they're
sure.
always...
because they're supposed
with.
To be soldiers now, right, Father Larry?
Exactly.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
And that's what I always tell them. I'm like, okay, you're soldiers now, so let's go out and fight for the faith.
But we have to build it.
How can we make a better program, possibly?
Well, you can always build on it, because what everybody comes and, like, my biggest thing about for confirmation is unless the kids have faith, it doesn't mean squat. You know, faith is the key that unlocks the sacrament. And so we got to get them to make sure that they have faith, because even we can teach them how to combat and fight the faith, but defend the faith. But unless you have faith first, you can learn all the arguments and fight with people all the time. But again, the best way to do it, as I often have said, is years ago when I was a young seminarian, I got to meet Mother Teresa in Pittsburgh. And she was there, and there was a bunch of people, and she was talking to a social work class. Club. And it wasn't a Catholic club. And so she's talking about, you know, dealing with Jesus and bringing the poor and different things. And then this guy got up and he says, Mother, because he was taking questions, I have no respect for you. You do all these things for God and there is no God and you lead people astray and da-da-da. And again, I've often said I wanted to, you know, my style is I wanted to climb over the chairs and show him God by sending him to God right that very moment. But that is my way. But it wasn't Mother Teresa's way. Instead of arguing with him, instead of debating with him, she says to him, Oh, son, I feel so bad for you. Jesus is alive, and he loves you so much. And if you were to surrender to him, you would also experience this. And this guy literally melted into his chair. He just died right there and melted into his chair because she was talking about who she knew. She wasn't arguing a point. And so often, even when it comes to apologetics, if all we're doing is arguing our points to counteract your points, then no one's winning. But if we share with others our experience of Jesus Christ, so what I call that is witnessing. So if they go out and they say, you know, after I got confirmed, the Spirit of the living God came upon me, and I received power so I can be his witness, as it says in Acts chapter 2:42, that we go out and we now, as we go out there and we go out and we bring to others the power of Christ inside of us, the reason the Holy Spirit's given to us, so we can be a witness. And a witness doesn't argue. A witness shares. And so we got to teach our kids to share with others the power of Jesus in their own hearts. But the only thing that will help them unleash that power is faith. And so we got to make sure that we're instilling faith into them. And faith is a gift of God, but we got to make sure that we're teaching kids to ask for that gift so that their faith can unleash the power. And then the Spirit can do all kinds of arguing, if you will, or witnessing, which is the better word. I hope that helps.
Exactly. Absolutely. No, I totally agree.
Sure. But
awesome.
It's hard to do it as a program, but we got to somehow do it. And
get to work on that study, Christy.
Exactly.
Right now.
There you go. God bless.
God bless
you. Thanks for calling us.
833-288-EWTN is our toll-free number, 833-288-3986. Next up is Jason. He is in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, listening to EWTN on Sirius XM Channel 130. Will you talk to somebody from Philly, Larry? Father Larry?
I will, of
okay,
course.
Jason, you're on with Father Larry.
Hello, Jason.
How you doing, Father?
I am very blessed. How are you?
I'm hanging in there.
There you go. What's up?
I got a question.
Sure.
I got a question now. I'm Catholic all my life. Now, I have a lot of friends that are not Catholic.
Sure.
And I'm usually able to answer most of their questions when they hit me with questions. But there's one question that I always have a hard time answering.
Okay.
It's where do we get this, where are we told in the Bible or anywhere else that we should have this devotion to the Blessed Mother?
Well, we get from the Bible that Jesus had devotion to his mother, you know. So, you know, explicitly, nobody loved Mary more than Jesus did. And since we are the body of Christ, we love who Jesus loved. And nobody, you know, God chose by the divine will to need Mary. He needed her by the divine will. So if we say we don't need her, we make ourselves greater than Jesus Christ, because he who is God chose to need Mary. He needed her. Yes, he needed her in the physical reality when she taught him how to walk, when she had to change his diapers, do all those things. She needed him. Jesus needed her. The last gift that God ever gave us on the cross, the very last gift he says, is he said, "Behold your mother." John always represents the whole church. So when Jesus said, "Woman, behold your son, son, behold your mother," he was giving Mary to us. So that's your mother. So Jesus, his last gift he gave us was his mother. And then it says John took her into his care. And so I always say, have you taken Mary into your care yet? Because if not, this is what I want you to do. When you see a cross or a crucifix, just go up to the crucifix and go, "Puh! I reject the last and greatest gift you ever gave to us." The last gift that he gave to any of us was his mother. So that's all from the scripture. And it's where that we have to do, when Jesus gave Mary to us, then we have to embrace her. And in the early church, again, when it's, you know, people love to sit there and let 2,000 years of history. The first image we have is of Mary, not of Jesus. They say, well, Mary holding Jesus. But there's always, from the very beginning, been devotion to Jesus, Mary and Jesus. From the very beginning. The church that's as old as our church is the Orthodox Church. And talk about devotion to Our Lady. Are you kidding me? So all of us had devotion to Our Lady. Martin Luther, the first Protestant, had devotion to Our Lady. It wasn't until much later that they sat there and saw her as getting in the way. And again, when it comes to devotion to saints, Jesus is the first one who talks to us about that. When Jesus was prepared to getting ready to be crucified, he meets with two Old Testament saints. He meets with Moses and the prophet, and they speak to him and they give him comfort so he can go on. So Jesus is dealing with Old Testament saints when he talks about the story of Abraham and Dives dies and goes before Abraham. And Jesus tells a story about Father Abraham, tell Dives to come over and give me, just touch my mouth with water. You know, so he talks about the Old Testament saints. So Jesus talks about saints, but explicitly, the last thing Jesus gave us was, "Behold your mother."
Does that fire you up, Jason?
Guess what? Good answer, Father. And thanks for helping me with the saints, too, because I get hit with that a lot. Praying that they ask these saints for help. So, you're absolutely right.
There you go.
God bless you, Jason. Good. Appreciate you sticking up for the faith.
Absolutely.
The number again is 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. That's the number Bob used. He's in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, listening on Sirius XM Channel 130. Bob, what's your question today for Father Larry?
Hello, Bob.
Thank you for taking my call, Father. Happy Easter.
Happy Easter to you. What's up?
I've got two questions. Stuff is floating around. Eucharistic adoration.
Yep.
Is there a minimum time that you are expected to spend? I know an hour would be perfect, but what's the minimum?
Well, anytime you can come in. Well, if you sign up, it asks me for an hour. But if you're just going to come in, I often tell people when I'm doing a parish mission, you know, my grandmother had a ditty. It says, every time I pass a church, I stop and make a visit. So when the time comes when I'm wheeled in, you know, in the casket, he won't say, who is it? So to sit there, and like I tell people, if your church is open, before you go to work in the morning, stop by, let the car run, and just run in and say, Jesus, I love you. Come to work with me today. That was a great visit to the Blessed Sacrament. You take them to work with you all day. Before you go home, you stop at your church, go in, say, Jesus, come home with me. You know, so just by stopping there. But the purpose of adoration is so you can learn to listen to God. And so, because so often, if you take the holy hour, when Jesus sat there and says, can you not give me 1 hour? So he's asking us to give him an hour. But then he's sitting there saying that while you're there, usually you have to shut up after a while because there's nothing else to say. So he goes, good, now I can reveal myself to you. Now I can tell you what I want you to do. Now I can share with you my love. Now I can do this. That's why it's so important. Like, I do a holy hour every single day because I need to know what he wants of me. Sometimes I listen well, sometimes I don't listen so well, but I'm trying. And the reality is, but we need, when we're there for at least an hour, at least then eventually we're going to shut up and we're going to let him talk. Does that help you?
So that one, but the second question is a little tougher. If the Blessed Sacrament is exposed on the altar,
yep,
and you're the only one there, do you need to wait till someone else comes in?
Yes, you do. It'd be disrespectful to ever leave Jesus alone on the altar. That's why a lot of churches, if you can cover them up, you can cover them up. But for Jesus to be exposed, there should never be a time where he is alone. It's disrespectful. So, like, God, here I have perpetual adoration, and there's never a time he's alone. People would know I'd go out of my mind. You know, everybody is always, you find somebody, you don't ever leave Jesus alone. So there
you
go.
God bless you, Bob. We appreciate that phone call. 833-288-EWTN is our toll-free number, 833-288-3986. I would encourage everybody during this Easter season to check out Church Pop. It's a great site that EWTN provides you with wonderful blog posts and news articles and videos that will encourage you during this Easter season. You can find it all at churchpop.com. Next up is Melissa in one of the greatest cities in America, Ann Arbor, Michigan, listening on Ave Maria Radio. She's a first-time caller. Melissa, you're on with Father Larry.
Hello, Melissa.
Oh, thank you. Hello, Father Larry. Thank you so much for taking my call. And
thank you for
calling. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah is our cry. Absolutely, said St. Augustine. What's up?
Absolutely. Well, I'm struggling with how to discern God's will and... I have prayed novenas in the past, and our wonderful Blessed Mother has answered one of my novenas on the ninth day. And I'm struggling with just hearing him. You know, in the last caller, you said that I try to make a holy hour every single day, and sometimes I listen well, and sometimes I don't listen so well, and I'm just struggling with discerning God's will. I'm currently working nights at a hospital housekeeping, and then I work at a radio station.
There you go.
I don't know if I can say it on air, but I work at Ave Maria Radio. And
there you go. You can say that as much as you want.
Ave Maria Radio, Ann Arbor, Michigan, AM 990. And so, but I prayed a novena recently to St. Thérèse de Lisieux, and I didn't hear an answer. And I just don't know if I should just... wait.
Now hear me. I'm going to tell you. I wrote a whole book on knowing God's will, so called Surrender. That's exactly this. And I said, and I say explicitly in there, don't be going and asking for a sign from the little flower to find out God's will. That should be a secondary thing. What you need to do, and again, it's okay if you're doing it, but it's not like trying to make God do something for us. This is the way to do it. All your options, write them on different sheets of paper. The good, and then so let's say you have four options in front of you. And then in time, you can do this because you're doing a holy hour every day, great thing. Write the good and say, Lord, what's the good and bad of each of these things? And then you write those things down. And then you take these options and you hold up each one individually before the Lord. And this mightn't happen in an hour. It might take a month. It might take 3 months. But you need to listen so he can tell you and say, Lord, is this what you want me to do? And you hold this before the Lord. If it gives you peace, keep it. If it does not give you peace, then get rid of it, because in his will is our peace. It doesn't mean it'll be easy. It can even scare you, but it'll still give you peace that this is what God wants you to do. And you keep doing this. So the four might whittle down to two, and you still have peace about both of them. What am I going to do, Father? Sit with it. Jesus, I'll do anything you want. Tell me. If I was to drop dead this very day and I come before you, which one of these two things would you want me to do? And he'll give you peace about it eventually. So you write all your options down on different sheets of paper. You put the good and the bad of each of those, and you sit with the Lord, and in his will is our peace. It's what gives you peace. That's the way, because God wants you to grow. And when you're doing those other things, it's just like God jumped through my hoop. You're not just in this relationship and talking to him and listening to him. And this is the way he wants you to grow. So if you try this, I promise you it'll work. Does that help?
Great. I'm going to try it.
There you go.
God bless you. Thanks, Melissa. Happy Easter to you. That was very Ignatian of you. We're going to make a Jesuit out of you yet. 833-288-EWTN is our toll-free number. Next up is Pat in San Antonio, Texas, listening on Guadalupe Radio. She's a first-time caller, Father Larry. Pat, you're
there
on with Father Larry.
Hello, Pat.
Hi, Father Larry. Thank you for all you do.
Thank
awesome.
You. God is good. What's up in San Antonio, one of my favorite cities?
It's hot.
Oh, there you go. It's not hot and eerie today, so that's good. What's up?
So here's my question. I'm on the phone with my sister last night. We're practicing Catholics, and she asked me, hey, do you know what gossip? What defines gossip? And I'm like, well, I don't know. Maybe you should check the catechism. But so we start asking each other, well, if I talk about my other sister, but we're not judging, maybe that's not gossiping. And, of course, we always talk about my mom.
Okay.
But we say facts. So I want you to give me an example of
what is it? There's two different things we're going to deal with. First is gossip. Gossip is talking about an unfounded truth, something you know, not truth, something you heard about somebody. So gossip is about, you know, you're not really sure it's true, but you're just talking about, this is what I heard. That's gossip. Detraction is another sin, just as bad as gossip, which would be telling an unkind truth about somebody. So it's true, but it's unkind, and you tell it. So that's the sin of detraction. A lot of people do that one today in the name of truth. But it's a sin. It's always been a sin. It's as ancient as sin as we've always talked about, to tell an unkind truth about somebody and keep doing that. And sometimes we do that in the name of justice. Sometimes we do that in the name of, I want them to come down. Well, that's good, but it's still a sin is sin, you know, when we do that. So if you're just talking about your mother to talk about her, you know, or she drove you crazy and that, you're really talking about yourself. You're not talking about your mother. But if you're sitting there saying, and what mom did to dad and that, or something like that. So if it's true, but it's unkind, that's a sin of detraction. If it's you're not sure if it's true or not, you just heard, that would be the sin of gossip. But if you're just talking about your mother, you know, because you're blowing off steam, or like my mother is not even blowing off steam, but, you know, she's been going through all this stuff. And so I talked to a lot of people about my mother to help me figure out what I can do best for her. So there's different things. Sometimes it can be sin, the sin of detraction, or the sin of gossip. Sometimes it can just be you're talking about them of concern. So what is it of yours, do you think?
Okay. That helps a lot.
There you go. Well, God bless you.
Next stop, Denver, Colorado. Michael's in Denver. He's a first-time caller listening on the Catholic Radio Network. Michael, you're on with Father Larry.
Hello, Michael.
Hey, Father. Hi, Father Larry. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure, Michael. What's up?
I have a lot of Christian friends that aren't necessarily Catholic.
Sure.
And I was talking to a friend of mine last night and, you know, wished her a happy Easter and asked how her Easter went on Sunday. And she said that she doesn't celebrate Easter Sunday. She's celebrated more of the Passover with the unleavened bread, and that Easter is a pagan holiday that we shouldn't necessarily celebrate. So I kind of wanted your thoughts on that.
Did you ask her what she was? Was she a Seventh-day Adventist, or was she a Messianic Jew?
Honestly, I don't know. I think maybe something with John Calvin, like a Calvinist. I'm not I don't know.
Because that's going to be a Presbyterian in that, and Quakers in that. But a lot of them celebrate Easter. Easter's a very ancient celebration. And you could sit there and talk about all those things, because the church baptized a lot of things, and it's not based on the pagan law, but we, you know, we sit there and we say, this is the true resurrection. You know, it could have been around other times, like people argue about the birth of Jesus and around the solstice and the light conquering the darkness. All that can be true. It cannot be true. But the reality is God was still born and conquered the darkness. Easter is a time where life conquers death. So to sit there and say it's a pagan holiday would not be true, because you wouldn't have the Easter that we celebrate without Christ rising from the dead. You know, so it'd be interesting next time you see her to say, well, instead of not even arguing with her, just say, well, tell me more about that. Where did you get that? Where is your theology from? Where is your background? So you can understand that more, and so you can go and look it up, because there, sometimes there's a lot of sects in the church, and different Protestant churches that would have that type of belief, but that's not a mainline belief in the church.
Very quickly, Father Larry, Kevin in Chicago, Illinois, wants to know if it's a sin to not go to Mass on Sundays and holy days, and if so, why?
Yes, it's a sin. It's going against the precepts of the church, and it'd be mortally sinful, so you must confess it before you could receive communion.
Father, would you leave us with a blessing?
Father God of love and mercy, we ask your blessing upon everyone who's listening to us now. Give them peace, in the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. On behalf of our host, Father Larry Richards, our producer, Michael McCall, call screener, Ryan Penny, and our social media maven, Mr. Jeff Burson, I'm Jack Williams. Thanks so much for tuning in. Back at it tomorrow. Until we get together then, God bless.